Hey, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, October 5th, 2023. And interesting stuff. So, you know, when you look at these things, I say, you know, isn't it an interesting coincidence that Patrick Pelu is at the Charlie Hebdo episode? What is an episode? We'll get to that in a minute. He's also there 310 days later, the same year, at the Friday the 13th, 2015 Paris attacks. He's there. Interesting coincidence. We have articles about him fighting COVID. He has the French president on speed dial, but he's just some random emergency doc, we're led to believe. I mean, he's, you know, apparently he's the chairman. He's been the chairman since 2008 of the French Association of EMS folks, which is convenient if you conduct these strategy of tension episodes. You need someone like him there. But like I said, there's no mention. So there's a bit about the Charlie Hebdo deal. Why nothing about the Friday the 13th deal? Anyway, when you start to see these things that are curious coincidences and things, harbingers piling up, I'm always reminded of Mike Rogers talking about the Benghazi situation. And it's interesting that post seems to just constantly evaporate. You know, we played that in the early days when you could play it. We played it for 10 years. And like, you know, some other things, this is just one of those things that curiously has a way of growing legs and walking away. There are a couple of new pages on Fox News, including the one that says this was reposted back in 2017. So the original page is a 404 error now on foxnews.com. This new page titled Ambassador AMB period, Susan Rice, Rep. Mike Rogers discussed violence against Americans in the Middle East. And it says, published September 16, 2012, updated January 27, 2017. And it's a transcript. There's supposed to be the video, but anytime you play it, I've tried to play it over the last couple of years or so. It says, sorry, something went wrong. Please refresh your browser. Maybe it's a browser problem. I don't know. But it just keeps, it persists. Can't play the video. That's interesting. But the transcript is still there for now, which includes Chris Wallace asking Mike Rogers, you know, what do you think? What do you think about this? Do you agree with the ambassador was really the question, because Susan Rice, you know, they play the clip for Susan Rice, and when they come back, Chris Wallace says to Susan Rice, you don't believe that. Basically, you don't believe the official White House narrative, which we have come to find out they were, you know, there was spin happening immediately, but I think even that is a limited hangout. to keep us away from the fact that none of this was really accidental at all. Anyway, the whole story is bizarre. So you're telling me 500 or 600 miles away from an embassy at a consular outpost that nobody knows about, some guys watched a video and then they, you know, take covert direct kinetic action on a compound no one knows about, and they are able to overwhelm highly trained folks. That makes perfect sense, of course. Sure. Why not? So when you start seeing these kinds of things, and people want, the whole point of saying all of this from the beginning was, if when you see these kinds of things and you are encouraged not to believe your lying eyes because, you know, maybe the 6 o'clock news isn't talking about it, or they're not telling the story the way that you seem to be observing it unfolding, I would say in these cases, you know, trust your gut, but, you know, continue to do some homework, because there is this effort to persuade and influence constantly to nudge us in a particular direction and make us believe that it's our own idea. But when you happen onto things somewhat organically, it's always interesting to see the parallel narratives that emerge that try to nudge you in a different direction. So Mike Rogers said of Benghazi, speaking of all of this stuff, and, you know, when we're encouraged to believe a story like the White House, the initial White House narrative about Benghazi, versus kind of what you can observe and deduce, Mike Rogers said, his response to Chris Wallace was exactly, I think it's just too early to make, you know, so Chris Wallace said, and, you know, again, we would just play the clip, but I'm not aware of where we can do it, because the one that I'm aware of, the resource location, keeps evaporating the video. Anyway, Wallace said, Congressman, you just heard Ambassador Rice say that her latest indications are that the attack on the consulate in Benghazi was a spontaneous demonstration about that video control that spun out of control. Do you agree with the ambassador? And Mike Rogers, former FBI agent, House Intelligence Committee chair at the time, said, I think it's just too early to make that conclusion. There's analysts in Department of Defense and CIA. There's operatives in both places. As an FBI agent, I get to look at all of that. I come to a different conclusion. They are only moderately confident it was a spontaneous event, because there's huge gaps in what we know. The way the attack took place, I have serious questions. It seemed to be a military-style coordinated. They had indirect fire coordinated with direct fire, rocket attacks. They were able to launch two different separate attacks on locations there near the consulate, and they repelled a fairly significant Libyan force that came to rescue the embassy. And then it was on 9/11. And there's other information, classified information, that we have. It just makes you stop for a minute and pause. And as the first thing you, I think he said one of the first things you learn, actually, but the transcript reads, and as the first thing you learn as a young FBI agent is this: there are coincidences, but they're not likely. And there are a lot of coincidences about this event. So that's kind of the takeaway that has always stuck in my mind, you know. There are coincidences, but they're not likely, and there are a lot of coincidences. We have these kinds of episodes that happen, and when you see one with all of these coincidences, you should probably think, you know, first time happenstance, second time coincidence, third time, time to start looking over your shoulder a little bit, maybe. Or maybe it's too late in that case. So, we played the clip of Patrick Pelu talking about we were running drills. Oh my goodness, the drill went live. Amazing. What a coincidence. There's the strategy of tension. And, you know, the Gladio network created to foment the strategy of tension when and where necessary. It's funny, you know, the strategy of tension, or excuse me, the Gladio network was created ostensibly to repel the threat of communism. We have all these weapons caches all over Europe, well, everywhere, pretty much. But in case the menace of communism rears its ugly head, we have all these weapons caches and covert operators everywhere that can repel the threat of communism. Except, well, you know, we use it to terrorize the people generally, and we use it to invoke the strategy of tension. So, what an amazing fortuitous coincidence. Let's see. Here it is. I think this is what I want. Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Strategy of tension. The Gladio Network. So you can, on wikispooks.com, you can still find Operation Gladio and the Strategy of Tension. Project was adapted in the mid-90s as Gladio B, using Muslim terrorists as a substitute enemy image for communists. Yep. The Stay Behind Network. The Leave Behinds or the Stay Behinds. And so, let's see. Strategy of Tension seems to have disappeared from that. Page. Strategy of Tension. So from related quotations on the wikispooks.com Operation Gladio entry page, this is, you know, quotes. Okay, so I'll just read the quotes. Related quotations, which is an interesting section by itself. Strategy of Tension quote from the Strategy of Tension page. Actually, Wikipedia or Wikispooks page, excuse me. This is quoting Vincenzo Vinciguerra from the trial, I believe, on this, when this all came to light in the 90s. When you were on the right, you were not supposed to attack the state or its representatives. Isn't it funny how, you know, there are select things that happen at select moments, and other than that, nothing ever happens. You know, the people that you would think would be attacking each other or being attacked, that never happens. Hmm. Yet, these Strategy of Tension episodes keep occurring. And we're encouraged to believe that there is a menace, there's some invisible enemy out there, and what keeps happening is the thing that you would think is actually getting attacked is not. It is portrayed as though it is, but that menace just keeps growing. And then, similar to Coke and Pepsi, rather than have just Coke or just Pepsi, they're an oligopoly, and so you don't say soft drink or no soft drink, you say Coke or Pepsi. So that's the Cold War concept, basically. You know, that's, you know, China is our enemy now. It's, you always have to have an enemy so that there is an ostensibly legitimate justification to swell the national security apparatus and all of its archipelago of apparatchiks. And that's what's happening. So the quote from Vinciguerra is, when you're on the right, you were supposed to attack the state or its representatives. You were supposed to attack civilians, women, children, innocent people from outside the political arena. You notice how, I mean, how, when was the last time that a Nancy Pelosi, who is the guy that I saw had a security detail? It's Patrick Pelu. That's who it is, ironically. He's the guy who has a security detail. I need to throw that in too. Why does he have a security detail? Where did I see that? I wonder if I can find that. This is not to get too far afield, but Patrick Pelu, of all people, has a security detail. Where did I see that? I saw that somewhere. I know, I'm sure it was him. No. I think it's this, the ABC interview. No, maybe not. One of his, maybe it was the Guardian deal. No. Apparently not. Is it the Forbes deal? Where did I see that? That's going to bother me. Oh, I know where it was. Yeah. I know where it was. Nahla Ayed's CBC news interview. I'm a medical soldier, says Dr. who treated victims at two Paris terror attacks. That's the one. I'm a medical doc, or I'm a medical soldier, he says. I'm a medical soldier. And so, it's this one, right? Dr. Pelu says France and other countries must change how they train first responders to cope with what now appears to be an omnipresent threat. That's part of my life now. He has certainly been forced to make changes in his life, too. Although he no longer writes for Charlie Hebdo. See, he's, you know, so was he there? Was he not there? That was always a weird story, too. He works there. No, he doesn't work there anymore. Well, what was he doing there? Which reminds me of Darwin Payne, a new fledgling reporter, being there in Dallas on one fateful November 22nd morning. So this is always, you know, who's doing recon and who's there as a plant doing, you know, gathering intel. No, he's one of us. How can you say that? Yeah, he's one of something. So although he no longer writes for Charlie Hebdo, Pelu goes nowhere without personal security. When he when we met at Brasserie this past weekend, armed soldiers stood outside to keep watch. Dr. Pelu shrugs it off. That's part of my life now. Why? Who wants to kill this guy? And why? Who would want to do anything to this guy? Why is he interesting or important? So, you gotta ask questions. Back to the strategy of tension. And Vince Aguirre's quote. So you're supposed to attack civilians, women, children, innocent people from outside the political arena. Why? For one simple reason, to force the public to turn to the state, to turn to the regime and ask for greater security. This was precisely the role of the right in Italy, he said. It placed itself at the service of the state, which created a strategy aptly called the strategy of tension. Finish that thought when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Welcome back. I wrote Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I won't do that yet. Let's stick to the strategy of tension stuff. So finishing the Vincenzo Vinciguerra quote, let me just back up and do the whole thing in one shot. You're supposed to attack innocent people, basically. Attack civilians, women, children, innocent people from outside the political arena. Notice that politicians aren't being, you know, firebombed in America. But, you know, we keep having these riots and stuff. And yet these people show up in these, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's the person. I don't recognize the brand. I'm not a Justice Democrats, you know, acolyte. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez seems to be doing fine. Is that video still on the Justice Democrats website of them boasting that, you know, she was the respondent to a cattle call, essentially? Her brother said, hey, you know, maybe you should, you know, instead of working at the bar, why don't you be a congressional representative? That'd be cool. Probably some more money in it. You know what? And you, I mean, cult of personality, it'll, you know, feed your narcissistic impulse. It's fantastic. What do you know? So, you know, is it really a government of, by, and for the people? Do we get the government we deserve if that's, you know, if it's a popularity contest? And I don't know. She looks nice. She polls well. So you attack innocent people. Why? So that the people turn to the state, to the regime, for and ask for greater security. This was precisely the role of the right in Italy, Vinciguerra said. It placed itself at the service of the state, which created a strategy aptly called the strategy of tension, insofar as they had to get ordinary people to accept that at any moment, over a period of 30 years, from 1960 to the mid-80s, a state of emergency could be declared. So people would willingly trade part of their freedom. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. For the security of being able to walk the streets. Well, at least for a while, until, you know, you need a permission slip to do that. A hall pass. Go on trains or enter a bank. This is the political logic behind all the bombings. They remain unpunished because the state cannot condemn itself. Yeah, it's the Machiavellian way, dear comrades. And then lastly, we'll throw in this quote under the related quotation section from Peter Dale Scott's The Road to 9/11. Headed by Frank Wisner, OPC's first project was an arrangement for the creation and support of the right-wing stay-behind groups, the Gladio Network, in Europe. Gregor Giannattini, one of the Italian authors of this strategy of tension, came to America in 1961 to lecture at the Naval War College on techniques and possibilities of a coup d'etat in Europe. In March 1962, the Joint Chiefs of Staff prepared their own documents developing Giannattini's strategy. This was Operation Northwoods, the plan called for innocent people to be shot on American streets. And if you remember the Northwoods story, this was a very just really gross and macabre, you know, dozens of scenarios were dozens of collections of scenarios and dozens of scenarios within each collection. So, too much time on their hands. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Situation, the scenario that I mentioned in the first hour about creating coercive engineered migration, the feigned threat of religious persecution, driving people here to the new Atlantis, you know, and the balkanization of people and the, you know, dissuading people or vilifying monarchical rule and the old divine right of kings, essentially. In keeping with those six, those illuminized 6 points, the formula from mentioned in Robeson's Proofs of a Conspiracy, also mentioned by Nesta Webster in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, and others. That leads us up to today. You know, I mentioned the OPC, the Office of Policy Coordination, from Peter Dale Scott's The Road to 9/11. That was one of the quotes from the Operation Gladio strategy of tension. Well, as the Gladio page on WikiSpooks, the related quotation section. So there's the quote from Peter Dale Scott's The Road to 9/11. And so I read that in the last segment. But the OPC, the Office of Policy Coordination, one of its first directives was to spread unrest in the communist countries, because we want to destabilize communism. Never mind the fact that if you read someone like Anthony Sutton, for example, or Major A.C. Jordan's diaries, and you know, however many other things that you can read. But you know, Sutton in particular, because you know, as Anthony Sutton would say, how did this indigent guy, how did Trotsky, you know, suddenly just fall into a pile of money and find himself at the right place at the right time? This formerly indigent guy, how did that happen? And, you know, Bella Dodd reminds us every time there was a major decision to be made in the Communist Party, the CPUSA, you know, the leadership would go across the street and ask the super capitalists, what is to be done, dear comrades? So, you know, the same forces funding this stuff. It's not just for power and control. Again, it's back to, you know, the ultimate objective here is the finishing of the great unfinished work in Genesis 11, which culminates in things like Psalm 2, Ezekiel 38, you know, Revelation 19, this kind of stuff. So the point of that is to say, you know, the OPC spreading unrest in communist countries is part of a broader conspiracy. That's not quite accurate. It's to spread unrest everywhere, hail Hydra, so that you can get the whole world doing what Pike wrote about to Mazzini in his letter outlining three world wars, August 15, 1871, so that everyone will say, you know, save us, kidnapper, save us, you know. And then onto the scene comes this shiny, flashy figure in, you know, biblical or anti-biblical fashion, as it were. So let's just go sort of rapid fire through a couple of things if we can, real quick. Just for context in all of this, we're not going to get to what is to be done exactly. Maybe we can do that and wrap it up tomorrow. But where we're at, for context, what is going on? We're being nudged constantly. And speaking of the strategy of tension, I think, as I was saying yesterday, an essential concept for people to understand. Imagine if we weren't nudged. Imagine if we weren't moved. Like I was saying earlier, you know, the sheep are dumb and they need to be. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why does the rod and the staff comfort the sheep? Because it keeps the sheep, you know that the shepherd is not going to let you wander far away. Sheep are dumb. They wind up upside down in a ditch sometimes, which is why the shepherd's staff has a crook on the end of it. So you can pull them out of a ditch, put them right side up. They can go on their merry way. What if we were a nation of well-armed, well-informed, not propagandized, but not Marxist, you know, provocateur influenced, but, you know, well-informed, well-armed sheep who were steadfast and resolute? who had the kind of resolve and the kind of ownership that Chad Wright was talking about in that first clip that we played in the first hour. Imagine that. I think along with the strategy of tension, which is in full effect these days here, we have to be reminded of Brian Michael Jenkins and the concept of terrorism as theater. So can we play that clip, please?
If there's one thing I know about you, Brian, is that you're incredibly good at making interesting statements about terrorism over the years. And one of the ones that I use a lot in my podcast and in my blogs is this statement you made. I don't remember when you made it, but you said, terrorism is theater. What did you mean by that then, and what do you mean by it now?
Well, to put the date on the citation, I actually wrote that in 1974.
1974?
And that was my in 1974. I'm 107 years old. But much of my writing is really thinking out loud. That is sharing with the reader what I'm thinking about, how I'm thinking about it. And, well, I appreciate the compliments to some of these felicitous phrases that come to me while I'm running or in the shower or wherever. Those are often really an attempt to sum up what may be paragraphs or even pages of thought, sometimes meandering. And it's an effort, in a sense, to restate in the most succinct fashion possible what I've been spent the last two paragraphs or two pages thinking out loud about. In that particular case, the point I was making is that terrorism differed from other modes of conflict, armed conflict. In conventional warfare, the violence is aimed at the opposing forces, and it is an effort to reduce their actual physical capability to continue fighting. Now, it also aims at their morale as well, but the attacks are directed at military targets, fighters, their supply lines, their depots, their weapons emplacements. Terrorism was very different. Terrorists could not really take on militarily superior foes on the battlefield. This had to be hit-and-run violence. It was intended really to create a psychological effect. The actual targets of the terrorist attack, the actual victims of the terrorist attack, other than a broad symbolic sense, had little importance to the terrorists. They didn't know who they were actually attacking in terms of hijacking an airplane or blowing up an airplane. The passengers, their identities were immaterial, or putting a bomb in a cafe or a bomb in a bus. The target of the violence, as opposed to whom the violence was aimed at, the target of the violence was the people watching. Terrorism was aimed at the people watching. And in that sense, terrorism was theater. Deliberately choreographed violence to achieve dramatic effects that would cause people to exaggerate the strength of the terrorists, the importance of their cause, that would create an atmosphere of fear and alarm.
All right, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds exactly like the strategy of tension. And just to further underscore the point quickly, if that's what, let's say, the invisible imaginary boogeyman Osama bin Laden wanted, CIA recruit who fell into a few $100 million, compliments of the CIA, why was CNN and, you know, every other major so-called news outlet airing that stuff. Remember all those years that Osama bin Laden just kept seeming to get younger and younger? We all joked about it and everyone knew and talked about that, but it was happening anyway. If you want to, if this is true, and Brian, like Brian Michael Jenkins said, he wrote this back in 1974, two pieces, International Terrorism, A New Kind of Warfare, and then the follow-up piece in 75, Will Terrorists Go Nuclear? You can read about this terrorism as theater concept. If we knew about it back then why a quarter of a century later are the major news outlets that the CIA has embedded so-called journalists at? That was also a scandal that we found out about, and George Herbert Walker Bush said in the 70s that we won't do that again. We won't have credentialed journalists in news outlets anymore. Instead, it's just going to be anonymous sources say now. So why would these news outlets be playing this stuff if we know that it's a fear campaign? Terrorists, like Brian Michael Jenkins wrote, terrorists want a lot of people watching, not a lot of people dead. If they knew that already a quarter of a century earlier, why is CNN playing this footage? And remember, we could insert Bill Cooper here, you know. The CIA, the NSA can't find this guy. No one can find this guy. And some doofus and a camera crew from CNN find him in a cave. Do you really believe that? So, moving right along, U.S. interests. You know, so how does this work? How does America traditionally get to war? We've heard, if you look at history, you know, nobody wanted to go to war. Every president was elected as the peacetime president. You know, we will not be drawn into this conflict. Yeah. That's just the cliche of history. So how does that work? Patrick Claussen on the traditional way America gets to war. Can we do that, please?
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
Whoa. Okay, so U.S. interests. We'll get to that in a second. I wrote a piece on this. You know, if you've listened for any length of time, back in 2019, I wrote a piece titled What's in a Word? The word is episode. And in it, I wrote, somewhere in the process of working on other things while mulling over the definitions of certain things, article, episode, incident, for instance, suddenly something dropped into the mental slot, and it finally occurred to me what Patrick Claussen was really and truly actually disclosing back in 2012 when he said that. He kept using that word episode you heard there. Episode, episode. What is the definition of an episode? An incident or event that is part of a progression or a larger sequence. An incident or action standing out by itself, but more or less connected with a complete series of events. Enough said for now, right? And if you want to feel really silly about all this stuff, and hopefully it makes sense how what he just said dovetails with the strategy of tension and Brian Michael Jenkins talking about terrorism as theater, If you want to feel really silly about how we've been manipulated in Bernaysian fashion, go take a look at Sam Keane's Faces of the Enemy, Reflections of the Hostile Imagination, which was published back in 1991, and you will be astonished to see the continuity of wartime propaganda in every country. It's the same propaganda with the same messaging. And where does this stuff come from? Where do these ideas come from? Is it yours? Is it mine? The Amazon book description reads, examines the psychology of hatred and aggression by which one's fears and inadequacies are projected onto others, dehumanizing them into enemies and legitimizing violence. This is always a prerequisite. It's always a precursor. So speaking of what's best for U.S. interests, as Patrick Claussen put it, foreign policy expert, wink, wink, Patrick Claussen, I think, you know, we got to throw in, sprinkle in a little bit of Howard Zinn on patriotism. Can we do that, please?
The idea of patriotism assumes that the government and the citizens have the same interest. So if the government tells you something, well, it's in all our interests. There's a common interest. In fact, the language in the culture suggests that, tells you that. You hear politicians say, well, we'll go to war if it's in the national interest, meaning we all have the same interest, Exxon and I, General Motors and I, the president and the kid he sends to war, all have the same interest. You know, national security. Oh, security means the same thing to all of us. National defense. They all these phrases that tie us all up into bundles of common interest when there really is no common interest, when the government has its interest, the corporations have their interest, and the ordinary citizen has interests which become put aside and become swept up in the government's interest. And the citizen begins to believe that, no, there's a common interest we all have. We're all one country. We're all Americans. And patriotism means we must all believe in the same things and do the same things and believe what the government says because the government has our interest at heart, because the government has the same interests that we do. So take some work and take some thinking and take some studying of history to disabuse yourself of that and then to look at patriotism as something different, to realize that patriotism is not, in its best meaning, obedience to government. That patriotism in its best meaning means obedience, not obedience really, but support of the community, the people, the citizens, not the government. And support of the principles for which the government is supposed to stand, but which it really violates again and again. You know, basically the principles of the Declaration of Independence and equality, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And patriotism should mean, in its best sense, support of those principles, which means that when the government acts against those principles, the government is being unpatriotic. And if people begin to understand patriotism in that way, they would not rush to war. As soon as some leader of government got up before a microphone and says, oh, we must go to war to fight for democracy or liberty or whatever.
So we're coming up on the end of today's broadcast. That's eye-opening. You know, if we could just put aside our own schizophrenia, we would do well. I forget the title of the video, but we could insert Walter E. Williams on who you would expect would or would not get elected today by America's founding standards, so to speak. Maybe we'll come back to that later. But he was very very articulate on that, I think, one of the best. Trevor Aronson, how this FBI strategy is actually creating U.S.-based terrorists. We don't have time for that. We're coming up on the end here. But, you know, what Trevor Aronson said in his 2015 TED Talk entitled How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists. The guy who wrote the book, The Terror Factory, about the FBI, which to this day has not been, you know, it's still in publication. He said the FBI, well, can we just play a minute or two of that, please? Better for him to say it in his own words. The Trevor Aronson TED Talk, How This FBI Strategy is Actually Creating U.S.-Based Terrorists.
The FBI is responsible for more terrorism plots in the United States than any other organization. More than Al-Qaeda, more than Al-Shabaab, more than the Islamic State, more than all of them combined. This isn't likely how you think about the FBI. You probably think of FBI agents gunning down bad guys like John Dillinger or arresting corrupt politicians. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the FBI became less concerned with gangsters and crooked elected officials. The new target became terrorists, and the pursuit of terrorists has consumed the FBI. Every year, the Bureau spends $3.3 billion on domestic counterterrorism activities. Compare that to just $2.6 billion combined for organized crime, financial fraud, public corruption, and all other types of traditional criminal activity. I've spent years poring through the case files of terrorism prosecutions in the United States, and I've come to the conclusion that the FBI is much better at creating terrorists than it is at catching terrorists.
All right, can we pause there?
In the 14 years...
That is a fact-based statement which sounds crazy to most people. And just to kind of underscore the point in the context that I've been making, can we skip forward to the 457 mark in that video? Because he talks about terrorism as theater, which is, if you're paying attention, that should really get your attention, especially based on what we've, you know, sewn together here, I guess, today. Can we play that whenever you're ready, from 457 to 530?
When Sami Osmakash attempted to deliver what he thought was a car bomb, he was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 40 years in prison. Sami Osmakash isn't alone. He's one of more than 175 so-called terrorists for whom the FBI has created Hollywood endings. U.S. government officials call this the war on terror. It's really just theater, a national security theater, with mentally ill men like Sami Osmakash, unwitting actors in a carefully choreographed production brought to you by the FBI. Thank you.
Hollywood endings. Terrorism as theater. I feel like I've heard this somewhere before. Man, this is where we are. Talk about the government we deserve. And we keep training legions and legions of these folks in the military and intelligence circles. What a crazy situation we find ourselves in. Schizophrenic and masochistic. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.